And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, I believe, fresh off the Metallica concert last night. Joseph, good morning. How are you? What's going on? First meet of the day immediately out of the gate, and Ian is fired up. He's ready to go.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be a great
Enter
day,
Sandman.
Guys. Can you hear me or no?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, my! I have so little voice left. My God. They also played 5 of the 10 songs I said yesterday, which is insane.
Is that good or bad?
Oh, it's great.
Okay.
I can't. The fact that they played Leper Messiah is truly incredible.
I just couldn't tell if you were hoping for more or if you were satisfied with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, for a band with their catalog, yeah. Especially when a lot of what you ask for are deep cuts. I mean, you know, including, of course, number one, Harvester of Sorrow. It was a great concert.
Did you get a little physical out there? Any mosh pits that went down at Nissan Stadium?
You know, as I was pointing out to Brennan, I'm like, at certain points, you know, Seek and Destroy and certain songs, I'm like, I pointed out to like the middle thing. It's like a circular stage, you know, and the middle part is called the snake pit,
yeah.
Right? And I'm like, Brennan, this is old people. I'm sorry. But like when all of these people 30 years ago, they're smashing into each other. So I actually did blast him a few times. And then one time he hit me back and I like vaulted on the other side of the aisle. And people were looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with this dude?
Well, at least you tried.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's fine. That's what it's supposed to be, you know.
At least you gave it a shot there. Ian Safar, yeah. How we doing? What's going on?
Doing good, thanks. Glad to see Joe made it alive.
Yeah.
This survived the, you know, old school metal.
So were you so happy last night, Joe, that you said, you know what? Screw this party we're going to Saturday. I'm going back to Metallica.
I mean, I'll tell you what, it would be.
Sounded pretty good? Overall,
oh, they sounded really good.
All right,
yeah,
good.
It was great. Great show.
It's good.
It was a very good show. Chase McCabe also there.
Chase McCabe
hung out with us before the show while we sat at the Omni bar waiting for Brennan to finish his citations for his paper he was turning in.
Oh, so. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Hope he got those done.
He got them done.
Hopefully he got those done. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Stilly will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll see if Stilly went to Metallica last night, which is a wonderful mental image that I think could be awesome if he did. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Some Titans speaking yesterday, including Brian Callahan. Got a lot to get into on that front coming up this hour as well. But, Joe, I want to start. Tyler Lockett speaking yesterday with the media, and obviously Tyler Lockett, a very accomplished player coming from Seattle. He is now 32 years old, and he is entering into a new situation for the first time. A lot of things that Tyler Lockett got into yesterday just in terms of his role on the team, his viewpoint of where the Titans are as an organization, kind of his path to get here, all those different things. Apparently he was a Titans fan growing up, was here for the Baltimore playoff game back in 2008. Which I guess would have been 2009 for the actual playoff game, 2008 season, which
sure.
I was there for that one too. That was a tough one. That was a tough one to watch. I think about Algie Crumpler fumbling the ball quite often. So that was a tough one. But
yep.
Tyler Lockett asked yesterday about his career, his stage of his career, where he's at right now heading into the Titans and what he thinks he still brings to the table. Here's what Tyler Lockett had to say.
About being your best self, just at this point in your career on the field, what do you think your best self looks like?
I mean, you know, best self just in every area. I mean, obviously, you know, I want to get better at blocking. I want to get better in how I run routes, want to get better in how I catch the ball. Like, there's a lot of things that you can continue to learn and grow from just because you've played in a league for so long. You know, once you stop learning, it might as well be all said and done and just be over, right? Like, you don't want to be that person where coaches are like, I can't talk to him because he think he knows everything because he's been playing for so long. But that's not the case. And so for me, you know, every day I can't look ahead. I got to be able to focus on today. If we're getting ready for a game on Sunday and today's Thursday, I still got Thursday to worry about before I can get to Friday and get to Saturday. And sometimes when you look ahead, you miss those days of being your best self because you're trying to get to where you hope to be for the game rather than just saying, man, when the game comes, I'm going to be my best self that day. But other than that, I'm focused on being my best self on Thursday.
So I don't know how long Tyler Lockett talked yesterday, Joe. It was probably 15 minutes, somewhere around there. I thought he was excellent. Like, if you're a Titans fan and you missed that, I would go back and watch it. Like, I thought he was really, really good in his media setting yesterday. And look, ultimately, you know, what really matters is what he brings to the table on the field and, you know, how quickly can he be a factor out there for Cam Warden. At this stage in his career, what does he have left in the tank? But I walked away basically thinking this yesterday, Joe. I was like, all right, you know, I like Calvin Ridley. I think Calvin Ridley clearly is their number one wide receiver. He's going to be their top threat in terms of playmaking ability. I don't know that Calvin Ridley, like, screams veteran leader in the room to me. Tyler Lockett does. Like, that was one thing I walked away from yesterday. I was like, all right, the Titans have got their leader in that receiver room, and that was good to see.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would say, and like you said, you know, production is what matters most, but no question. Yeah, that's just not really Ridley's bag, you know. And, I mean, Ridley, at some point during camp, we're probably going to be talking about, well, when are they going to get on the same page, you know, right, and all that stuff. But, yeah, I think the room really needed someone like that. You know, I don't know that NWI really was that, or Hopkins. I mean, Hopkins was, but even, you know, this guy is, like, obviously – you know, next level in that way. So I think as a voice in the room, I think he'll be really important because he'll still play enough and be important enough that people are going to listen to him.
Yeah, and then, you know, the question becomes, how at this stage of his career, what does that production look like? I mean, I said it when they signed him. You know, you're paying him hardly nothing. 49 catches, 600 yards last year. 2 touchdowns. I mean, I'd probably like to see the touchdown total go up, but other than that, like, I would probably sign up for Tyler Lockett, 49 catches, 600 yards at this stage of his career. I'd probably sign up for that right now and be happy with it if I'm the Titans.
Yes, you would sign up for that, and of course you're hoping that you've got decent chunks of production out of, well, I was going to say both. I guess you could say all three rookies, but, you know, at receiver, yep, both of the rookies. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I mean, one of them at least, you know, needs to produce at a pretty decent rate. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to me it's like Lockett, Ridley, and I would guess Manner. Did I do it right?
I think so.
You know, as right now, like, would probably be like the starting lineup I'd pencil in, you know. But we'll see with Lockett. You know, I also don't think it's a bad thing if at some point he gets passed over. I mean, if both of these rookies are good, you know, maybe that takes away some of his production, some of his opportunities. That's fine, but it's hard for me to look at this room and think he's not going to be a pretty significant factor.
Trevor says, I really like Tyler Lockett after hearing him speak. Hope he doesn't come in here and turn into Tyler Boyd, LOL. Got another texter, Craig and JC says, Lockett interview was great. Titans need more of that attitude in the locker room. We appreciate our listeners in Johnson City. So thank you for listening in, Craig. Yeah, I mean, I thought, again, I heard it speak. Again, it's probably 15 minutes long. And then, Titans Twitter took to commenting on it after, and basically it was all the same thing. It was like, wow, Tyler Lockett was awesome. That was good stuff. Again, we'll see what he does on the field. But in a room that I thought was, especially, you know, after the departure of Hopkins last year, and certainly now that your boy NWI is gone on to greener pastures, in desperate need of some, like, veteran leadership in there, I felt a lot better about it. You know, I didn't know what Tyler Lockett brought to the table from that standpoint. You know, I've watched him in Seattle, but I don't pay attention to the inner workings of the Seattle Seahawks all that much because we're focused on what goes on around here. So it did not take me long into that press conference yesterday of watching him, Joe, to realize, okay, yeah, Titans are going to be fine on that front with Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard of a guy going to an all around the entire room shaking hands. So that takes up a little bit of time. Did he and Kaharsky come up with a secret handshake? You
I don't
know,
know. Good question.
Like Kaharsky, like try to fist bump him instead or something. You know, try to be cool.
Anybody ever told you you sound like Edith?
Apparently, Tyler Lockett's a huge haul in the fan. Wait, what the heck was the name of that show?
What is the name of that
it was,
show?
It is All in the Family, right?
It's it All is All in the Family. Yes.
Good Lord, it's gonna be that kind of day. Also, is the text line working for you?
It is.
Okay, good. Great.
We'll see if we can get you figured out on that. When was the last episode of All in the Family?
I mean, my 70 guess something? Would be.
Yeah, it looks like in the 70s here.
Is that right?
Yeah, it says 70s. It might have ended, I'll have to see.
I would have guessed it might have ended like 81 or something like that. But okay. The Jeffersons was a spinoff, so that went into the 80s. So. Both great shows.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Rex Rhodes survived the Metallica concert, and he is here today on the program, alive and well. Take your thoughts on that. Your thoughts on Tyler Lockett, his introductory press conference with the Titans yesterday. Plus, something that Brian Callahan said that caught my eye yesterday, Joe, that I'm not sure that I believe and or is a smart strategy. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. People very excited that Rex Rhodes survived Metallica. Good to know. Good That's to know nice. You're loved on the text line, Joe.
Good to know people don't want me dead. Yet.
So Brian Callahan addressed the media yesterday. And he talked about a lot of different things. We're going to get in some other comments he had on another position group a little bit later this hour. But, Joe, he talked about the quarterbacks yesterday, and this is not a new idea that he brought up. Mike Borgonzi talked about this in the immediate aftermath of the draft, and this was brought up again yesterday as it relates to the quarterbacks and how the reps are going to go here for the foreseeable future. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say about the quarterbacks yesterday.
Specifically with that position, how do you plan to divide or handle reps during OTAs, during minicamp, and is there going to be a first-team guy at quarterback?
Yeah, well, they'll have plenty of opportunities. How those reps get shaken out will sort of be determined by how they perform when given opportunities. That part of it's been thought out. We have a plan in place, and what that looks like is going to ultimately be sort of up to them, you know, and how their performance goes when there's time to perform. So feel good about the process and the plan in place, and there's going to be plenty of reps for those guys to compete and get better and improve and be ready to play in September. So, you know, starting off early on here is you know, baby steps to some degree.
So that was what Brian Callahan had to say on the reps and the quarterback position yesterday. Joe, I hear that, and I think to myself, who are we trying to kid here? Who are we trying to kid? We know Cam Ward is going to be the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. At least I think so. If not... If he's not, we've got a big problem by the time week one rolls around, in my opinion. And if we all know that Cam Ward is going to be the quarterback when week one rolls around here, why are we trying to play this game as if like everybody's got a fair shot to be the quarterback? Guess what? You drafted Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. We all know the score here of what's going on with Cam Ward and what needs to happen here. And we all know that your last guy, who you identified as your franchise quarterback, did not work out. Hence why you picked Cam Ward, number one overall. So I don't really know why we're going through like this dog and pony show here of, well, it's a competition and we're leaving reps open for everybody. And if you are doing that, and that's truly the way they proceed here, and they've just got reps based on performance, I guess, or they've got, you know, these, you know, an open competition, quote unquote, heading into training camp. Like, that bothers me because I want Cam Ward to get every possible rep he can get. Like, I need Cam Ward to be out there and getting every possible look, every possible rep, every possible touch point with his teammates to get that chemistry. So I don't buy into this, well, we've got a plan for the reps at quarterback, and it's going to be open, and it's based on performance, and it's up to those guys how many reps they get. I don't know why we're going through this dog and pony show.
Yeah, hopefully the plan is just – totally different from what he said. The thing is, though, this whole dog and pony show you're talking about, it's not, I don't think it's happening if Levis is not here, right? I mean, it's because that's what it's about. It's about him. And, you know, of course, he got asked questions about Levis, too. Callahan did, and, you know, said, you know, you don't have to have any crazy conversations. And Will's, you know, working on his focus, and, you know, he's doing what he can do and all that stuff. Competition's good for young players. But, yeah, look, it's very feasible that Will Levis could come out here after a year in this offense, after an offseason of that work. I'm sure he worked hard. And be sharper than Cam Ward. I mean, gosh, I would kind of hope so, right? From the start,
yeah.
I would kind of hope so. And so are you truly then, oh, well, gosh, baby, Levis is QB1. No, of course you're not doing that. Of course you're not. So, I mean, I think the plan probably is to do what you said, give Cam Ward most of the reps.
So why are we going through this? Like, why are we saying that?
That's here's another, this is where I need Kaharski. See, Paul, this is another reason why you just move Levis, you know, because it's just like, I don't even think those questions are coming. Then it's like, okay, you get two, you know, you got a veteran backup and he's here to support he's here to support Cam Ward, you know. In this case, you have the guy who just months ago was supposed to be this, he was the franchise quarterback hopeful, you know, and he's still here. So I to me, that's the only reason those answers are what they are. And this is one of those things where, you know, obviously fans and media, you know, we roll our eyes at a lot of stuff coaches say, but like the players in question are also rolling their eyes at what he said yesterday.
I get if you're a coach, you know, from one standpoint, you don't want to just say, well, Cam Ward's our guy. He's going to be the starting quarterback, because I guess you're trying to operate in a world where he goes out there and quote-unquote earns it. But, sure. I mean, who are we kidding? He was drafted number one overall. As Devin from Dover on the text line points out, you turned down a king's ransom from the Giants in order to draft him number one overall. He's clearly going to be – I mean, look, Brian Callahan's obviously not going to come out and say this in a press conference setting, but, like, what Cam Ward does is probably going to determine whether or not Brian Callahan's still here this time next year. We all know this. So, like, I guess I understand, you know, the coach in him trying to say, you know what, I don't want to just come hand a job to this kid. But we all know when you're drafted number one overall, and particularly given the rest of this quarterback room right now, looks like what the score is here. I don't know. Just, he said that yesterday, and I was like, who are we kidding? Are we going to do this? Like, is he going to do this like 3 weeks into camp? Like, we can get to the second or third preseason game, and he's going to be like, well, it's still an open competition out there. We'll see if Cam Ward is the starting quarterback by the time the regular season rolls around. Enough. We know that Cam Ward is going to be the starting quarterback here.
Yeah. Like, no, totally. Now, again, right now at this point, okay, say that stuff. And yes, you know, we're not going to say anything where we just declare it, and yeah, you got to earn it, all that stuff. But yeah, if you get into that stage and we're still talking about it, then it's just like, yeah, that's going to be, I mean, think of the meltdowns we'll have alone, you know, that alone should be a deterrent. And the thing is, so then you get into, if you're going to say this, if this is going to be your public messaging, then you'll have people like Skyler. There's a totally fair question. Skyler says, so is there really a chance Borgonzi and Brinker have a plan to sit him and develop him? Can you do that with the number one pick? Could you do that with the number one pick? You could, but I absolutely don't think that's the plan here. Not for a second. I think he's taking the first snap in the first game.
Well, and frankly, could you do that with the number one pick? Of course. I think it would be a way easier sell to do that with the number one pick had you gone out and signed a veteran quarterback this offseason. A little bit better than Brandon Allen or Tim Boyle. Like, can you do that right with Will Levis? I still say the answer is no. Like, I don't think that serves anybody well to do that with Will Levis this year. So, like, are you really gonna trot Brandon Allen out to be your starting quarterback? I just have my doubts about that. And again, let's take him at face value here, Joe. Let's say that what Brian Callahan said yesterday in terms of we're gonna divide up the reps and it's gonna be performance based. Okay, let's take him at his word. Well, what if Levis does come out there and looks really good? So are you going to start giving him all these reps all of a sudden? Like, it just feels like a total waste of time to me.
Right. So if you're Levis, and again, I don't think Levis has illusions. You know, the texter says, typical Titan football, giving Levis and anyone else the notion he has a chance is ludicrous. Cam Ward needs to be told this team. But if you are Levis and you heard that yesterday, oh, Okay. And then you go out and you're just flat out better than Cam Wortley, which again is totally feasible. I mean, you would think that all that time in the offense would be helpful. Also, he's talented, and practice made them think he could be good last year. Let's remember that, right. You know, again, like we talked about yesterday. So then you do, and you were clearly better, and then you still don't get the reps. Oh, well, what the hell? Why the hell did you say that?
Yeah, why'd you say it? Because we all know that, right? Like I said it yesterday, and this is how I would operate. To me, if I'm the coach, I don't care what Will Levis does. He could go out there and look like Joe Montana. Great, man. We're going with Cam Ward as a starting quarterback. But I just don't know why you leave yourself open this. As Jabari points out on YouTube, says this is the same organization that couldn't say for sure that they weren't going to pick up Treylon Burks' fifth-year option. Like, that was another thing. Like, they, you know, after the draft, you know, the Brinker press conference earlier this week, and even Callahan yesterday was like, yeah, we're still working through that. It's like, guys, we know that you're not picking up Treylon Burks' fifth-year option. If you do pick it up, all of you need to be fired on the spot. We all know this.
Now, on that one, I will say, who asked the question? Can you tell me?
I don't remember.
I mean, like, I don't think that's a question that needs to be asked. You know, like, it doesn't really need to be asked. And so whoever asked
maybe
it,
so. I mean, they didn't want to answer it.
Right, but it's like, because I know, like, I don't expect them to say, are you kidding me? No, we're not picking up his fifth-year option.
You could just say no. Like, hey, we're not going to do that.
You could.
Which they ultimately ended up saying not in a press conference setting yesterday. That they're not picking it up. Shocker.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, that's one of those that's like, no, duh. But, some of this public messaging, you know, you go back to last year and some of the stuff about Burks and, you know, that was said. It's like, you do have to, like, sometimes the grain of salt needs to be a little bit too big here. Jared says, I'm carrying water for Levis. I'm giving you a hypothetical where he could have good practice reps. I don't think that's like the craziest thing in the world.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan may not like our first hour today. We got some more things to get into on what Brian Callahan
a little more
had to say yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Jared Stillman will be with us coming up at 7 o'clock. He'll get his thoughts on all things Titans as well. A lot of reaction on the text line to the quarterback discussion we just had and why Brian Callahan won't just say, yeah, you know, Cam Moore's going to get a lot of reps. He's going to be our starting quarterback. Get more into that a little bit later in the program as well. But, Joe, there were some more comments from Brian Callahan that caught your eye yesterday as it relates to the offensive line.
Yeah, This is sort of setting up the Stillbilly pretty well, because the way I'm about to react to this quote is probably very Stilly-ish, but like, let's just play it and then we can talk it over.
How optimistic are you, going back to the offensive line, Brian, how optimistic are you about the group that you should possibly have now, when last year it was a week-to-week thing where like, well, we'll see what we got this time?
I think we're improved, you know. I think anytime you add a caliber of player of Kevin Zeitler and the way he's played for as long as he's played at that level has been really impressive. And then you add Dan, who's played, started for 4 years as a left tackle, and now you got a second year player in JC that I think has a ton of talent. And I think Pete's gotten better every year. You get Lloyd back when he's healthy. On paper, it looks like we're much improved. But again, it's, you know, we got to go do it. You know, we'll see what it ultimately looks like. But I think we feel like we've improved the spot, and we should be in a better place than we were a year ago. But it's got to be obviously a lot better than it was a year ago.
So here's my Stilly-ish reaction. Like, what he first of all he talked about Zeitler several times. He's clearly excited about Zeitler, which yep. I get. Zeitler's he's a nasty interior offensive lineman. If he's still, you know, stay healthy and all that, I mean, I like that pickup. But you know, when that question comes to him, you know what I want to hear? I want to hear, well, guys, we got a legit left tackle. We got a left tackle. We got a starting left tackle. And, you know, at last year, if anybody watched him, you saw that guy can play. And so that's where we upgraded. And he sort of almost threw him in as a, and then, you know, Dan is, they got Dan too. And I don't know. Again, am I overreacting? Probably. You know, we're parsing these words. But, like, my initial thing was like, gosh, he barely even mentioned him, and it was sort of like, threw him in there. Like, you want to hear excitement about Dan Moore, who you know, like they like hiding from the media since they've signed him. So, like, am I overreacting?
I'm actually kind of glad he didn't do that. I kind of want to see, like, if I'm a Titans fan right now, I want to see. Look, man, I'm glad you are excited about what you've brought in on paper, and I, you know, on the surface, I agree with you. The offensive line should be better. But if I'm a Titans fan right now, based on all the sunshine pumping that went on around here last year, what I want to hear is, yeah, we're going to go out there and work, and hopefully we're a lot better. Like, yeah, that's what I want to hear. I'm not going to sit here in May and talk about how much better I think we are on the offensive line and how much that I think we're so improved there, we're going to be a whole lot better. I want you to say, yeah, we're going to go out there and work, man. We're going to go out there and work, and we're going to try to prove it. That's me.
That's fair, and that's fine, but we do know how Brian Callahan is, right?
We do.
Brian Callahan, again, I don't think that he's BSing all the time when he praises guys. Now, again, like I just mentioned, Treylon Burks last year, go listen to some of that stuff, you know, from camp. I just, considering that he usually is that way, then when he isn't about a player, then I have to be like, hey, what does that mean? Yeah. Again, I could be, you know, I could be reading too much into it. But, well, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, they do need to, overall, the messaging needs to be a little bit more, yeah, we just need to show it, as opposed to this, and this are going to be awesome.
I did notice that, though. Like, he was very quick in his answer to just say, Zeitler. I mean, it's Zeitler. You feel good about him. And then, you know, we also signed Dan
other times. Yeah. He brought him other times, too, like unprompted. So, yeah, big Zeitler guy. And also, we have a new left tackle.
We did make another signing.
And he's the starting left tackle now, so we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, maybe that's what you want. You know, that means he's actually going to be good, and the people that he like talks about a lot end up being bad. You know,
well,
maybe,
look,
maybe this is exactly what he needs.
As a Titans fan, I think it's an interesting balance because I do like I really do like Brian Callahan in that setting in terms of the information that he provides. And the willingness that he has to discuss what he thinks about his football team. So I like all that. I just, you know, we've talked about it. I thought we talked a lot about Levis yesterday with the praise from Callahan last year before he had ever taken a snap in Brian Callahan's system. And I thought there were times where it got a little bit overboard. And obviously it played out that way. I just think being a little bit more cautious in that approach this year would probably be the route I would take if I was Callahan.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think the overall message, I think that's definitely a takeaway from last year. And it was probably more, well, I guess the Levis part was Callahan. Other than that, it was probably more on the Rand side of things with like the, you know, I had 19 guys call and say, by golly, I can't believe you took that player because I was going to take him and all that. And, you know, it checked everybody. Oh, yeah, that stuff, the overall organization. I should have had a conversation about messaging. Like, we can't do that again. But yeah, I mean, look, I think Callahan is an optimist. You know, I think he sees what the best could be in a player. And so a lot of times he communicates that, which is fine, but sometimes it can get you in trouble.
Skyler on the text line says, as a Titans fan, go out and show us a quarterback not running for his life for the fourth year in a row. Don't say a word about the offensive line. Just show us. This is from Skyler on the text line. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Larry to the program. Larry, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Man, good morning. I mean, y'all done got me off in a bad mood talking about my boy Will Levis. Like, it's unbelievable. The last year and a half, couple of years, just like the texter said, this offensive line has been absolutely garbage. I mean, Will Levis is out there trying to make plays for our Titans last year, and yes, he made a few mistakes, but you know who also made a bunch of mistakes his rookie season? Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning made a bunch of mistakes. Levis has been out in California training with Carson Palmer's brother. He's probably going to be, you know, going to turn it around, and we sit here and use the number one pick on Cam Ward. Unbelievable. Give the guy a chance. You brought on all these offensive linemen who should be better, and we're just going to give the ball to Cam Ward and let him try to make plays when Will Levis never really had a good chance behind a good line or good receivers.
Thank you for the call, Larry. Appreciate it. And a nice Levis-Peyton Manning comparison there, Joe.
Yeah, we've heard those. You know, someone else texted about this too, like, why can't Levis get get a chance with this offensive line. I don't know what to say. It's good to have the variety of opinions, right? And just like we've got the Cam Dews and we got the What Are You Doings, oh, and the Cam Dews are growing in number every day. What is someone who's still trying to keep Levis afloat? The Levistators. The Levistators.
Oh, God.
Might need. Oh, man. See, this is the creativity that comes out of me when I get home at 1 a.m. after a Metallica concert. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, you know, he's not going to be the starting quarterback at the Tennessee Titans. I think there is a chance someday, somewhere, you know, he could have another shot. But again, this is all these things. Every time it comes up, Robbie, this is why, part of why, I understand we can talk about whatever we want, and they're in that building, and they don't have to listen to everything we say. But they talk in the building, too. This is why you move them.
Ian, what's our verdict on the Cam Dews, the What Are You Doings, and the Levistators that Rex Road has thrown out there?
Not terrible. Not terrible.
Yes. Thank you, Ian. I mean, Ian was now so you've patient given him with oxygen.
I mean, Ian's given so him oxygen. So that's all he needs. Crap. It's not terrible.
I was going to say, if Ian ripped me for that, I was going to have to be like, years of enabling Jared.
Pretty good. Hey,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More conversation to get to on the offensive line front. More of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The quarterback situation and the reps that Brian Callahan were talking about, the offensive line comments he made yesterday, everything on the table. Stilly coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, May the 10th. Be caller number 4, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, May the 10th. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jared Stillman coming up here at 7 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. So, Joe,
hey, Robbie,
go ahead.
Real quick, I would just like to apologize for any previous comments disparaging Shinedown.
Really?
And also, I'd like Jared to get a shine box and get up, get here, top of the hour.
Maybe time for you to log off for the remainder of the day.
Cam do.
Oh, boy. Rex Road's on one today. Yeah, so
still floating, baby.
Hey, man. So, let's operate under the assumption here that the offensive line is good. They come in and Cam Ward's got time. Obviously, that's a welcome change of pace here, and that's what you want to see based on how bad it's been the last 3 years with the line. What if it's not? What if for the fourth consecutive year, Joe, they have a bad offensive line that does not give the quarterback as much time as they need? You've addressed it again in the offseason. You have Bill Callahan in as your guru offensive line coach, and he just doesn't fix it. What happens again if this thing is bad, and how much pressure is on Brian and Bill Callahan to make sure that regardless of the record, regardless of what else happens with the receivers, all that, you better get the offensive line fixed this year?
Yeah, like if the Titans, you know, whatever, they have a 6-11, whatever it is, and the defense is bad, you know, I mean, I think that's not good for Denard Wilson, you know, like I think he needs to have a bounce back year after some deceiving stats did not tell the story of a pretty bad defense last year. And again, bad roster, but I feel like even though we're so focused on the quarterback aspect of this, and rightfully so, that's number one. I think a pretty close second is if your offensive line, if you move Latham, it doesn't work, for whatever reason it is, if you're bad again, you just invested in a left tackle who can't play, who isn't a starting caliber left tackle, which, by the way, is a possibility here. Man, that's a huge indictment of, and again, this is where it's like, look, one of the best things about Brian Callahan was that you now get Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach. I said all last year, you know, guys, this roster stinks. And you can't sit here and you can if you want, like our next guest, of course. I mean, I heard our next guest say Chig sucks. Like he must have said it like 12 times yesterday. Like, dude, just try a different word. So, of course, he immediately went to like Bill Callahan is overrated or whatever. I mean, last year does not outweigh or even close to diminishing his whole career, which has been a great career. But if you have a second straight year, you do all this shuffling, get new players, move a guy from left to the right that everybody said, oh, we thought he was a right tackle. No, he's a left tackle. Oh, actually, yes, he's a right tackle. And it's bad, then, man, that's a close second to me in terms of like what aspects of this team could fail, and it'd be a really bad thing for the coach.
Well, I think if that happens, then they're not going to be here. Like, if they have bad off, first off, their roster right now, in my opinion, at the skill position on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, take your pick, is not good enough, again, to overcome a bad offensive line. And Cam Ward, like, you know, I expect Cam Ward this year, once he settles in, to give you better quarterback play than you got from Will Levis last year. I don't think that's a very high bar to clear. So I expect that to happen. However, like, do I think that Cam Ward as a rookie is going to come in and be good enough to overcome a bad offensive line again? I have my doubts. Like, some guys can do that. Some guys can overcome that. I mean, Burrow pretty quickly in his career overcame that, but there's not a whole lot of Joe Burrows walking around out there. So, like, to me, Joe, if they come in the offensive line with the draft capital that they've spent on it, now with the free agency money that they've spent on it, if they come in here again and they're not good, I mean, to me, that, first off, that's going to lead to probably another abysmal year to watch this offense play, which nobody wants. And it's also going to lead to just an absolutely terrible record out there. So if that happens again, they're gone. I mean, to me, Cam Ward coming in and playing well this year, some of that is going to have to be, you know, the offensive line a prerequisite of being significantly improved. Now, do I look at their offensive line right now, Joe, and say, wow, they've gone from having maybe the worst offensive line in the league to some top 10 group? No, I don't think that. I just need them to get to average. Like, I need them to get to, like, passable on the offensive line. That's the first step before we can start worrying about good at that point.
I mean, can you get to the low 20s?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be greedy and say high teens. That might be crazy talk. But get to the low 20s. Because last year, if you aren't 32, then you got to tell me who 32 is.
Yeah.
So again,
really,
the bar's low.
The last few years. Like, they've been right. Brutal for a while.
Yeah, it's been the worst offensive line absolutely in football. I mean, certainly I think 22 is when it really started to take the downturn. We know all the issues, the revolving door, and just terrible choices at left tackle since they lost Taylor Lewan. So again, Dan Moore is really going to be the biggest part of the answer to the question, and I don't know that that's terribly comforting, but we'll see.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam on the text line says, some of our fan base are delusional. Levis is no longer the quarterback because he continued to make the same mistakes over and over. To be an NFL quarterback, you have to adapt and learn from mistakes. Levis did not do that, so we move on to the next one. Chris on the text line says, I want to hear Callahan come out and say that they screwed Levis with that crap offensive line. Two totally different ends of the spectrum there, Joe.
Yeah, man. The Levis-taters they seem few and far between. But there are some, you know.
They're more prevalent than I thought. I'll put it that way.
And then, but whenever a Levis Tater emerges, you know, then the backlash is pretty intense.
Pretty
severe. Like, people immediately jump on those people. But I suppose, you know, again, it's like people who, even though Marcus Mariota was fine, he's a pretty good quarterback. Yeah, you know, there's people who still want to, like, say he was, like, really good. Right? I mean, there's still people who actually think that Marcus, like, was a great quarterback who just got screwed by the Titans. At some point, like, you have to look at a QB. And I'm not saying, like, with Levis. Again, I'm not closing the book on Levis in this league. But I just don't know how you look at last year and take all the responsibility away from him, or most of it, and put it on everything else. Like, he deserves, you know, enough that's why he's in the situation he's in.
Oh, Cam Ward's good for no other reason than people say, oh! That's what good quarterback play looks like. So we never have to bring up Levis or Mariota ever again. That's what I hope.
And again, now Kaharski's on this hard, but it is worth mentioning, I think, with the Levis thing, and this is, I guess, fuel for the Levis haters, but Mason Rudolph, who has looked decent in his career, had some pretty good stretches. There are some Steelers fans who think he should start for them.
He was horrible last year.
Yeah, he
what
was.
What does that tell
he
you?
He looked right. So, I mean, you know, it was a bad situation for any quarterback. Like, if you had Cam Ward, and again, I don't know how good this offensive line is going to be. I don't know if these receivers that they've added are going to really make a difference. But if you had Cam Ward right now and you put him on last year's team, it wouldn't go well at all. And we would, you know, he might play better than Levis did overall, but it wouldn't go well at all. It would not be a encouraging season for Cam Ward with that offense.
A different Cam on the text line says, am I the only one distracted with Joe's 2015 included plug-in Apple headphones? That's what I call karaoke 2004 mic. This is why teenagers are attacking your son with water guns. I'm convinced of it. Joe clearly brings out their inner Arnold/Stallone.
I mean, I've tried to do the AirPods thing, but it doesn't work. I think this microphone's pretty awesome, frankly.
Microphone is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a smooth, deep, rich mahogany voice.
Yeah, I kind of like that it's handheld, too. Like, I think it adds a certain flavor to it.
I did, like, some, like, videos for The Athletic for, like the Final Four. And, like, the producer's like, hey, could you, like, hold that microphone low so people don't have – I'm like, oh, we don't think the mic's cool as I'm sitting here? Like, I'm, you know, like –
I mean, does anybody really care?
Phil Donahue hosting my talk show? Yeah. No, we don't think that's cool. As far as the water guns, that's over tomorrow. Let's all thank the Lord.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Jared Stillman will be with us coming up next. I'm sure that this will be very interesting between Stilly and Rex Road. Fresh off another Jared versus Joe win for Jared Stillman. We'll get into that. Whatever. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.